Welcome to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Quizmaster Lee. I'm here with Quizmaster Mark Davis.
Hi, I'm your other host, Quizmaster Mark Davis. Over here is Quizmaster Lee.
And I am your other host, Quizmaster Lee. And across from me is Quizmaster Mark Davis.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. My brother likes big butts and he cannot tell the truth. It's one of my favorite memes.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That is a meme. I was going to say, is that a team name?
How will you escape our dungeon? It should have been.
That's a good team name. I had a team last night that was called I Like Big Butts and I Can't Lie. And I was like, I like the efficiency there and the grammar. The originals cannot lie, but you don't have the time for that. And then I segued into a Schoolhouse Rock question about grammar. So that was a good.
Ooh, yeah. That's a good segue.
Nice little segue. Sometimes the opportunities just present themselves.
I saw another thing that was talking about how you could use contractions in other places where they wouldn't seem.
Oh, God.
Correct. Like to say, it doesn't look like I'm tired, but I'm.
Wait, what?
For I am.
Oh, but I'm.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You can get on board with that. It'll if it's written.
Up. It'll make you really, really.
But not in verbal language.
Try and shorten talk as much as you can.
Just some news. We posted our fifth bonus quiz to Patreon.
Hello.
It's called Fuck a Hello.
Fuck
a Hello. It was recorded after our last episode, 55, Earthworm John.
Because that's for our main doggies doing Patreon.
Our supporters. Fuck a Hello.
They don't need that shit.
It features topics such as Star Wars, Game of Thrones, astronomy, culinary history, words and phrases, and a few sports and music questions. It's basically like an extra round.
Yeah.
An extended extra round for our Patreon supporters.
For our lovers.
Along with our other bonus quizzes, which include horror movie trivia, Disney trivia, celebrity pseudonym trivia, and more. We also feature deleted clips and extended susses on some of our toughest questions. Just visit thenono.com and click support for the links to that.
The deleted clips one was good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah. We've got some more, too. I need to post up some old ones, too. We got some classic deleted clips.
It's funny how much I forget we talk about that you can just edit out and I'll never remember. And then you have these
Isn't
clips
it
and I'm like,
funny?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I'm waiting for the time to strike. I'll release all the deleted clips.
Perfect.
Now, our listeners would love that, though.
Yeah.
You know, and we will. We will release them. We will release them.
One
just like Mr. Burns releases the hounds. Speaking of which, hounds, hellhounds. I had a night from hell this week at trivia. I wanted to share with you.
Please do.
And maybe we can commiserate on this. I don't know how things have been with you lately. But first of all, I had some open cheaters at one of my events.
Open cheaters?
Open cheaters, yes. I received reports
from
several teams in round one. And it's funny because people feel so embarrassing for tattling. They feel so embarrassed for tattling.
Right.
They're just like, I never do this, but they're using their phones. They're clearly using their phone. But so I received several reports in round one of these players cheating. And after tallying up the points, I find that the accused team won the round with just three correct answers. So it's already a bit of a tough round and not an ideal situation, basically, you know, because the other teams didn't get three questions right and they saw the winning team cheat.
Right.
So they're going to be especially upset, you know, if I give that.
So if I may, did they know that the team was cheating or were they just on their phone?
They were just on
their
phone.
I know that there's no difference to you.
But, yeah.
Okay.
And I explicitly say at the beginning, it's like a 45-second long spiel about no cheating, no devices, no phones, put them away.
Now, did you see them on their devices at all?
I did not. They were kind of tucked away from my location, so I didn't have line of sight, basically.
So if you're going to take away points away from them,
mm-hmm.
then you're doing it solely on the reports of other players.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. So what I did was I went over the table, and I asked them if they happened to look up any answers on their phone. Just figured I would broach the subject openly.
Just get it right out of the
way. Nothing about you guys won or anything like that. Just like, hey guys, did you happen to look any of these answers up? And as one player took a deep breath to inhale, the other said, yes, we did. We just had to know the answer to this one question. So question number 11, we looked up. Sorry about that. And I was like, okay, thank you for, you know, being honest about it. And I reiterated, like, we have a no device policy. This is why, you know, you guys did pretty good. You know, it might not seem like you gained that much, but you would have won, you know, if you wouldn't have told me that. So just for round two, again, we just ask that you put your devices away during the question rounds. When I'm tallying up the points, that's a good time to check in on Facebook or look up answers if you just need to know. You know, that would be a good time to do that. And they were like, yep, we perfectly understand. That's fine. So I continued, and they ended up doing it again in the second round. Very awkward. So they didn't bother turning in their answer sheets. I didn't, like, even go and collect it. They just finished their meal, basically, and left.
So they weren't a usual team.
They weren't a typical team, no.
When you said they did it again, did you catch them this time? Or did someone tattle?
Somebody tattled, but I very explicitly said, like, no devices during the question round. No, I know. Yeah.
But, I mean, you say that and you don't see them, so.
I just figure if they were really vested in the game, they would have brought me their answer sheet at the end of round two, and they would have expected, you know, they didn't seem very interested when I dropped the bonus points on. They just kind of petered out, you know what I mean?
Gotcha.
They were more interested in listening along than playing, which is fair. But that's not even the worst of it. I had a drunken heckler the same night.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Christ. So during round one, while all this other stuff is going on, a player that's part of a duo team started shouting out answers. So it started with just one, and I went over and I asked them not to shout out the answer, explaining people are here trying to play a game. They're trying to challenge themselves and their knowledge. Yeah. And if you shout out the answer, it makes it no fun for anyone. And again, we're playing for gift cards, so this is not even fair. And she was like, no one cares. No one cares. No one here cares about what you're doing. And I gestured to, like, some of the returning teams that we had in the house that were sitting behind me. And I said, they come every week for trivia. You know, they care. And I said, if you shout out an answer again, I can't give you any points. And you won't be able to win a gift card for answers that you know. Because you're shouting out the answers. So you feel like you know them. You won't have any opportunity to do it. And she goes, how about I slap those silly glasses off your face?
Holy shit.
Yeah. So I frowned.
Is this someone you know?
No.
Okay.
No, this is somebody who was just there that night.
Oh, you know, I can't wait to get off mic with you. I can't wait to hear more about this.
So I just frowned at her, and I looked at her partner, and I kind of glared at him, you know.
And where was he?
Gave him a solid glare. His lips peeled back to his teeth, like, ey! He was cringing, basically. Okay. So I frowned at her. I glared at her partner, and I walked away. Then they covertly turn in their answer sheets at the end of round one. They waited until, like, I had gone to collect some other answer sheets, and then they ran up and, like, put theirs on the laptop, you know? So I was like, all right. So then I'm tallying up the points, and I look up, and I see they're paying their check. And I'm like, thank God this nightmare is over.
Right.
You know? And I can finally see the dawn, basically. Right. So then I start round two, and halfway through, she shouts out a second answer. And then a new round of drinks is delivered to them. So I'm, like, freaking out at this point. I'm like, what am I going to do with this quiz? I need to now guess what questions I'm about to read that she might know the answers to. This is just a nightmare, you know, to try and prevent her from shouting it out. So
now,
after she shouted out the second answer, I had there was, like, a question about Taylor Swift's new song.
Well, hold on.
Yeah.
Was she shouting out answers, or was she just saying them to her partner and not, like, realizing?
Shouting them out. Cape Coral! That would be an example of, like, how she would do it. Jesus. You know how shouting out answers go. Somebody's shouting it out. They're shouting it out.
Well, I had someone not on, like, Wednesday. Saying them loudly, I had someone on Wednesday where I had the music down. Because every time I ask the question, mm-hmm. I'll ask it and I'll repeat it and I'll try and turn it up before the one drunk member on the team goes, New Orleans!
Yeah.
Where they're not shouting it, but they're just not being mindful, and their whole team goes, shut up.
No, this lady was fucking with me. Okay. Straight up fucking with me, basically.
She wanted to knock those glasses off
your face. Yeah, so.
What a piece of shit.
So I finished up the question after the second time that she shouted out an answer. I finished up the question I was working on, and I found management, and I explained everything. It's like, please help me out here. Do something, you know? Like, I don't mind that they're here and having a good time and stuff, but, like, you know, it's not fair to the other teams. And not that I had any complaints from any other teams, but clearly, you know, like, it's not that large of a space.
Right.
Everybody can hear, you know. So management went over and talked to them and actually didn't have any problems for the rest of the night with them. So it was kind of nice that it worked out that way, but still disappointing, you know. When you go in, you're already stressed out enough because you're about to start work. You're basically starting a performance. You have to have all of your ducks in a row.
Right.
You know, and then to have, you know, people just kind of, like, doing whatever they want in the same space, it doesn't always jive. And it really put me in a bad mood, you know? Right. Like, I was just at the end of round one, like, is this even worth it? Like, why am I here right now? You know? Like, I'm not having a good time. And, but yeah, it seemed to work out all right. Be kind to your quizmasters, folks. You know, we're people too. It's like the Merchant of Venice. If you prick us, do we not bleed? We do.
Huh. Yeah. That's intense, man. I'm sorry you had to go through that. That's such a fucking drag having to deal with that. You know, even when people write down, like, I'll get the couple that's sitting at the bar that goes, yeah, we'll do trivia. Mm-hmm. And then I'll ask a question and I'll pick up their answer sheet and it'll be, you know, the question will be like, who's the Eternal General? And they'll just go, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, shut up.
You know what I mean? Don't bring me down.
It's like, you know, well, guess what? You know who cares? The people that know.
Yeah. And everybody this year.
Yeah.
Everybody this year playing for this event, you know,
they care.
Yeah.
Because they want these points, you see. So that's why someone would care. And it's the fucking Attorney General.
It's really just that, you know, I think they're just ashamed of, like, because that's the thing. The answers that were shouted out, that this lady was shouting out, were the two answers out of 12 that I asked that she knew, meaning she did not know 10 of them.
Right.
So now, in order to prove her intellectual prowess,
her superiority.
Yeah. She has to yell out the answer that she does know. Yeah. You know, and I think that's it comes from the same place.
Look at me,
you know?
Guys.
Mm-hmm.
I got brains. Yeah. Cape Coral. It's like, yeah. God. You know, and what I'll do is I have some extra hard questions in my back pocket that if someone screams out the answer, I go, okay, that question is now garbage. Here's the new replacement question. And it's like fucking, who's the president of fucking Mozambique?
Yeah.
And people are just like, oh, it's like, yeah, well, there you go. What could have been a 3-point question is now a really, really hard 8-point question. You can thank this guy. And everybody's like, boo.
Yeah.
It's just, it sucks. It sucks that people have to be that shitty. Like, and, you know, I definitely don't think trivia needs to be the most serious, boring, pain in the ass thing in the world. But, like, it's not fun when it's not fair.
Right.
You know. So when you get a question like that half the room can hear, half can't, and someone gave out the answer or whatever, you have the either the option of giving everyone the points or changing the question, you know, in my opinion, it's usually what I do.
Yeah.
And I'll usually change the question and make it something that will piss everyone off and make them kind of turn on the person that, you know, that is responsible.
So. Right. That's good.
Yeah.
I like that approach. But we had the opposite happen in number three, too. So we had a tiebreaker. And it was a true tiebreaker because it was for round three, same amount of points and same amount of bonus points. So we couldn't determine it that way. And since we have Star Trek trivia coming up and both teams got a hard Star Trek question right, I invited two Star Trek fans from the respective teams up to participate in a tiebreaker. And twice in a row, they were able to shout out the answer at the exact same time. I couldn't determine who. So I was like scrambling my brain for Star Trek trivia off the top of my head, basically, you know, to deal with it. And I'm trying to think of, I remember. So the first thing that I asked was, who played George Kirk in 2009's Star Trek? Do you remember?
I don't.
Chris Hemsworth, beginning of that movie. Remember?
Oh, okay.
So they both said it at the exact same time. And then I said, who played Worf on The Next Generation?
Nope.
Michael Dorn. They said it at the exact same time.
Oh, yeah, Michael Dorn. Yeah, okay.
And I was like, all right, what are the rules that the Ferengi abide by in Deep Space Nine for trade purposes? Do you know this?
No.
This is one of the harder ones that we have at our Star Trek trivia, which this will air after that. So I'm okay giving that out. It's the rules of acquisition. And finally, that one was enough to put the brakes on one of them. So we had a clear victor after that. But I just thought it was incredible. I've never had a tiebreaker where twice in a row, both teams had the exact same answer at the exact same time, not even a fraction of a second.
That's crazy.
From what I could perceive. So, yeah, you want to go ahead and get into our weekly wrap-up proper and go over our scores?
Yeah, let's.
Okay. So first up, at the Palace on Monday night, Palace Pub and Wine Bar in Cape Coral, Godspeed, you moist emperor, won with 108 points. Then on Tuesday at Gather, Tarpon Charlie's won with 94 points. On Wednesday at Bury Me Brewing Company, it was the fifth wheel. Their second time attending trivia, first time winning, though. So they came 1 week and did not win, and then the next week came back and took the whole thing with 96 points. And then at number three, Left of Sanity, hopping on over to number three, winning with 119 points. Very high score. So
need to get on that team.
That's their second entry in the top 10 in 3 weeks. Top 10 highest scores ever. So congrats to them, and Congrats to the other teams that won. Mark, how'd your teams do?
It's always metalheads that do really well in trivia.
Right?
They did well. We had a very, very big night. Anybody local knows possibly that Skyler was back at Nice Guys. So they had a big welcome party for him. So the place was packed all day long.
Nice.
The winning team was Fungus Atungus Fuckface. This Fuckface team used to come all of the time. And all their team names would always be something something fuckface. And they were gone forever. They came back and they ended up winning the last round because they had the last answer correct, which I'll be asking you today.
Ooh.
Narrowly beating out Scrotal Recall by 1 point.
Great team name.
Scrotal Recall was a giant team. It was Jamie, Fletcher, Kristen, Sherry stopped by, a past guest. Mm-hmm. And Shaney, my girlfriend, was there. A couple of Jamie's friends were there. They were right up at 7 people. So
yeah,
it was a monster team.
Speaking of previous guests, Elise just moved back to town, so we're hoping to have her on again.
Absolutely, soon. She did 3 trivia nights in a row here.
Yeah,
I mean that's love.
Yep, she had somewhere in the 120s a streak on the New York Times crossword puzzle. And I checked that out after she said that. Like, let's see how big my streak can get. I have yet to solve one completely. I thought I solved the Monday completely, and it was like, sorry, there's at least one tile wrong. And I was like, fuck this thing. And I've been trying ever since, and still haven't completed one. But
I'm not. Yeah. I didn't look, but I'm pretty sure her team name was Hunter S. Thompson.
Love it.
Beautiful.
Cool. So if you want to play No Nonsense Trivia Live in the coming weeks. Yes, you do. You have a few opportunities to do so. First, tonight, Monday, July 29th at 7 p.m., we're at Palace Pub and Wine Bar located in Cape Coral, Florida. Categories will include monster trucks, movies of the 1970s, candy, Tim Burton, Super Smash Brothers, and more. The final question category will be 1990s cartoons selected by Saucy Fingers. Saucy Fingers. That's James and Tyler from Forever.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
pick that category out. Tuesday, July 30th, we'll be back at Gather in Cape Coral for trivia. That one also starts at 7 p.m. Be asking questions about black metal, boating, the U.S. Civil War, sci-fi stuff, poker, geography, the animated classic The Last Unicorn, and more. The final wager question category will be ichthyology, selected by Hotlanta. If you're not familiar with what that is, do you know what that is?
Hotlanta?
Ichthyology?
Ichthyology.
Yeah. This is where we will start our trivia on it. It is.
I know I've.
Ichthys. Ichthyus. You know what that is?
No.
It's a little Jesus fish. Ichthyus. Ichthyology. The study of fish. I don't know how if Jesus crept his way in there as well, but it's definitely the study of fish. Wednesday, July 31st, we will be at Bury Me Brewing at 7 p.m. The Meat Cottage will be there with their authentic German food offerings. Categories for the quiz will include 90s heartthrobs, classic porn, Florida Man, Chappelle Show, Greek mythology, failed movies, and more. The final no-nonsense wager question that night will be World of Warcraft, selected by the team I Came! I Came. I said that like 500 times that night. I Came.
I Came.
It's such a simple name. Team yeah. name, you know? I Came, I Came, I Came. You can say it 3 times in like less than 4 seconds. It's great. But afterwards, check out Nice Guys Pizza Trivia, hosted by Mark Davis. That starts at 9 p.m. in the Cape on Wednesday night. And then Thursday, August 1st, we'll be at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar at 7:30. The Meat Cottage will be in the house. That night, they'll be debuting a brand new menu for August. The categories that night will include Terry Pratchett's Discworld, Skyrim, Table Tennis, AKC Dog Groups, the movies of Adam Sandler and Kevin Smith, and more. The final category will be Florida Fish Facts by Peanut the Dog Says the Civil War Was Only About States' Rights. They selected that category. So you can pick your flavor this week. You can find out more information about all of our live events online at nononsensetrivia.com. All of the No Nonsense events are free to play. You can win various prizes after every round. Join us.
Won't you? See, I had this natural inclination to go up with you, but I should have just went low.
That's all right. So speaking of prizes, Mark, have you heard we're going to be rotating our prizes out for our trivia?
No.
You haven't heard this yet?
I have not.
Oh, yeah. So Nice Guys, The Palace, and number three, we're going to be trying some stuff out with trivia. We're going to be rotating out our final round gift card prizes to those three venues.
Ooh.
So if you go to Nice Guys, you might be winning a number three or Palace gift card. If you go to The Palace trivia, you might be winning a number three gift card. Exactly, oh. Exactly. So they're going to try that out. I hope that becomes a thing because I think that's great. You know, it's just going to bring people into new events. And maybe if you go play at Mark's Trivia on Wednesday, you can use that gift card, come over, try one of mine, and vice versa.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. All right, let's take a little break, and then we'll be back with some much-needed trivia, as if we haven't had enough this week.
Right, sounds good.
Like 16 questions for you today. We probably won't get to them all, though.
I imagine.
It's a lot.
Not. Yeah,
that's more than we usually prepare. But I had 16 this week that I thought were pretty good. We'll make our way through. The first question that I have for you, Mark, is related to animals. So get your animal brain going.
Pink Floyd album.
No.
Okay.
What the Pink Floyd album is named after?
Oh.
The creatures.
Okay.
Animals.
Creature feature.
Yeah. Nicknamed for its plucky call. The Australian Pobblebonk is what kind of creature? Nicknamed for its plucky call, the Australian Pobblebonk is what kind of creature?
Pobblebonk.
Yes.
And you're just looking for like dog, cat, bird.
Exactly. Kind of exactly.
Because the first guess I was going to have was marsupial, because it seems like all the marsupials are down there. But I think there's only a couple, I think. Probably know the name of them.
Maybe even some of them are listening, mate.
Might be.
We love doing accents on this show, mate.
Turn of the prawn on the barbie.
That's right. They say prawn. They don't say shrimp over there. That's,
you said plucky call. Can you define what you mean by plucky? What's
yeah.
plucky?
It sounds kind of like Yoshi. Like when he eats the apple.
Bloop. Bow. Oh, bow. Okay.
Bow.
I'm going to say, I think that it's just like the most common guess when it comes to what kind of animal. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say a bird.
No. A Pobblebonk is also known as the Eastern Banjo Frog. The Eastern Banjo Frog. So that is the true origin of the plucky hint that I have in there. But I felt like, I don't know, maybe I'd be giving you too much.
I was thinking like. Yep. I don't think it's a plucky sound, but
well, okay. But the name is an Eastern Banjo Frog,
oh, you know,
and
yeah.
that's the best impression I can do of this frog. I'm sorry, I'm not a Pobblebonk, Mark. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Rutger Hauer
mm-hmm.
just passed away.
Mm-hmm.
In what year was Blade Runner released?
Ooh. Well, definitely in the 80s. It's an 80s, the decade. I can at least get the first three
like
digits.
Tears in the Rain.
198.
Time yeah. to Die.
Mm-hmm. Gone like tears in the rain. Time to Die.
Boo.
Bow.
Bow. Someone needs to put in that sound effect.
Bam. My friend, one of my childhood friends, he studied at Second City. His name's Jameson Webb. Look him up on Twitter. Fantastic tweets. But he did this recreation of that scene from Blade Runner where he's in the shower. He's in the shower. He's got the shower on and he does it just so totally straight, you know, like God, like tears in the rain. And he puts on a ball cap and goes, and play ball. It's so good. But what year did Blade Runner come out?
Yes.
I think it was after 85, but not too far after. Ooh, I don't know about that. Okay, so the two numbers that are in my head right now are 87 and 84. Ridley Scott
Ridley
director, director Ridley Scott. 1979. He's working on Alien. Written by Dan Stevens. Friend of Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. This is all information not related to this question.
It's what you do whenever you're scared to sus.
Yeah, I'm so scared to sus right now. But my point is, Ridley Scott was working on Alien in the late 70s, released in 79. Did he do anything in between that and Blade Runner? Was Blade Runner a follow-up? What else did Ridley Scott do in the 80s? I know I'm forgetting something. I'm going to go with 84. I feel like 87 is too big of a stretch, and I can't think of anything that he did in between. That's 5 years between the release, and it just seems about right. 1984.
The correct answer is 1982.
Oh, okay. So I even went too far.
When you started getting to the whole, like, oh, well, he did that in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
What did he do after? And I was like, oh, shit, he's going to figure out that this is what came out right after. Yeah.
Yep. I should have gone a little earlier, I guess. Rest in peace to Rutger Hauer. Interestingly, that movie set in 2019.
It is.
And he dies in that movie. He died the same year as his character, Roy Batty, in that movie. How is your... I think you can get this. But I'll tell you, a lot of teams didn't get it. So... Don't jump.
Well, I don't like when you do this to me. You know I don't like it when you say you think I can get it.
Yes, Mark. That's I do know do that it. You don't I like know, it. Yeah. I do. That's right.
Let's go ahead and hear it.
Who was the GOP vice presidential candidate the last time that a Democrat won the U.S. presidency?
Well, that was Barack Obama. And who ran against him? John McCain? Was it What's-Her-Face? Dum-Dum? Ding-Dong?
I'm going to need a name.
I know. I'm trying to think because he ran twice. I can't remember if John McCain ran against him both times or just one of them. But in the interest of brevity... Sarah Palin.
No, I'm sorry. The correct answer is somebody who is according to an interview with, I believe, the New York Times, a big fan of the rap metal band Rage Against the Machine. I'm talking about Mitt Romney's running mate, Paul Ryan.
See,
you fell into the trap that so many did.
Well, and I'm, you know, and again, I was just, you know, I didn't want to sit here fucking... clawing my eyes out. If I would have thought about it, I would have realized
yeah.
Sarah Palin was way too long ago, but I forgot about Mitt Romney.
Yep. And I don't know. That's an example of, I think, a way that you can write a question. You know, I could have just asked who was Mitt Romney's running mate.
It's very straightforward. Yeah, no, that was good.
But a double jump style question. You know, you have to answer one part and then another. And I've got another one of those style questions buried in here, Mark. So be on the lookout.
Be on my best behavior. Yeah. Be on the lookout. All right. Here is your second question. I think you can get this probably. What is the name of the new Prime Minister of the United Kingdom?
His name is Gary Busey. No, wait, it's Nick Nolte. No, wait. His name is Boris Johnson.
That's correct.
Boris Johnson. Yeah.
I'm glad that you've been keeping up.
Yeah. It's hard. There's a lot of switch-ups right now in the political world. Did you have any question about the governor who resigned?
What's that?
The governor who resigned this week? Did you have a question about that this week?
I did.
You did? So did I.
Oh.
Yeah. I hope it's not on your list because I'll get that one right.
We'll just go ahead and bypass that one.
Okay. Ricardo Rosello, yes.
So it's funny because I actually asked what country.
Oh, okay. I asked for his name.
And I said, what country was he... You know, over time. And then everybody was like, country? And I was like, fuck. And I looked back and it was like, U.S. territory. I was like, What place? And I think that kind of gave it away.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Yeah. Some that happens, man. Sometimes you word a question in a way that kind of can give it away, or people try to, you know, say stuff and guess your try to read your face and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah. You know? I mean, I knew it was going to be kind of an easy one because I know it was pretty big news. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Somebody was like, "Do you want his first name?" And I said, "I'll accept only the last name. But if anybody gives me the first name, that's going to be the only team that gets full points, and everybody else will get partial credit, basically." So take your chances.
Yeah, right. Roll the dice.
Got a geography question for you.
Oh, great.
You always give them to me. I feel like I never give you geography. Yeah, yeah. This is a little bit of payback for you. Okay. In Brazil, time zones are determined by their relationship to BRT, which is the time in what Brazilian capital city?
I know this is a tricky one. BRT.
Mm-hmm.
Capital city in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
Want to say it's Rio de Janeiro. Think that's too easy. You know, there's so much shit in Central and South America. I just don't fucking know. And there are these names floating around. Caracas. What the fuck is Caracas? Is that the capital of something? Probably. Is it the capital of Brazil? Maybe.
No, it's not. Lisa, it's not.
No.
We could just write that one off right now.
I'm going to say Rio de Janeiro.
It is not Rio de Janeiro. That was a popular answer. Biggest
city in there, probably, but it's not the answer.
Right.
The answer
It is the biggest city, but not the capital.
I fucking knew.
And I'll tell you, Caracas is the capital of Venezuela.
Okay.
So you're not close, but not too far off either at the same time. The correct answer is Brasilia. Brasilia is the capital of Brazil. And BRT is the time zone in Brazil that the other three time zones, 3.5, there's three or four extra time zones. I can't remember. One's like an unofficial time zone or something. You can look it up on the Wikipedia page. Anyways, time zones. Great subject matter for trivia, by the way. Had a whole bonus time zone quiz this week. I said, if it's midnight tonight, what time and what day is it in these 10 cities? That was the bonus points. And let me tell you, people were working overtime on that shit.
Jeez.
Yeah. It was fun, though.
All right. Here's your last question in this round.
Mm-hmm.
What was the better known name of outlaw Harry Longabaugh? What is the better known name, or what was the better known name of outlaw Harry Longabaugh? Longabaugh.
Hmm. Well, I don't recognize the name, so I'm pretty sure I can write off. Oh, wait, I was going to say. Wait a second. I'm confusing myself.
Whoa,
I was going to name some outlaws, and I was like, wait, no, they were sheriffs. But wait, they were outlaws first, right? Doc Holliday and White Earp were first outlaws, correct? That became sheriff of Tombstone?
I don't know.
Weren't they gang members at some point?
Maybe.
Billy the Kid, maybe? Harry. Harry Longabaugh. I think it was another outlaw's birthday this week, like Billy the Butcher. But why would you be named Billy if your name's Harry? That doesn't make any sense. Is this outlaw featured in popular culture prominently, like on Deadwood or Tombstone or a movie?
Prominently, yes.
Okay, so there's a movie maybe based on this character or person, individual?
Maybe.
Maybe.
I'm pretty sure.
Harry Longabaugh. Wild Bill Hickok, but Bill, again. So many Bills. Old Bill from Westworld.
Old Bill.
Harry Longabaugh. All I can think of is Neville Longbottom when you read me that name from Harry Potter. I don't know, man. I don't know this one. I'll go with Wild Bill.
Wild Bill Hickok?
Yep.
The correct answer is the Sundance Kid.
The Sundance Kid. Harry Longabaugh, the Sundance Kid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know anything about him.
Well, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance
Kid. Oh, Butch Cassidy. Right. That's right.
Why I was saying, like, there, you know, there's definitely a movie, I'm sure, out there about Butch Cassidy. But I don't know if the Sundance Kid was as highly highlighted.
That's a good one, though. Harry Longabaugh.
Yeah.
The Sundance Kid.
All right, let's take a break.
Let's do it.
Bye.
All right, Mark, you want to kick us off with a first question for round two?
Absolutely. I'd love to. Which U.S. president is the only to have received the Medal of Honor? I'll never forget your President's Day trivia in which you rained down upon us so many questions.
Yeah.
Having to do with presidents. So
that
I
was another hellacious trivia night.
Oh, Lord.
That was probably the number one until this recent.
It's the second closest I've ever been to walking out of a trivia night.
Yeah, it was. We weren't even doing the bonus questions at that point, so be thankful for that, you know, because it could have been 50 questions, presidential questions. The Medal of Honor?
Yes.
I think that would have to be John F. Kennedy. And my rationale is that I know that he was a captain of a boat in the Navy, I believe. And I think the boat got taken down. Are you about to say something?
In the Navy. I was going to do
that. Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say the Medal of Honor is not given out to members of the Navy.
No.
Or some esoteric fact like that. But yeah, I think his boat went down and he like personally saved two crewmates who didn't know how to swim. He like swam them to an island and then like went back out and swam and like got more people that couldn't swim. And he was just like
Get you to shore.
Yeah. Don't you worry about anything. I'm going to get you to the shore.
Every time I hear JFK. Did you ever watch Clone High?
Yes.
Every time I hear anything about him, I think of him in the Clone High voice.
It's so good. It's so good.
Ira, save their lives.
So that's my answer. I think they're... Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
That's my answer.
You had more to sus?
I think that's it.
The correct answer is not JFK, is it Dwight D. Eisenhower. Both great guesses. Mm-hmm. The correct answer is Teddy Roosevelt.
Mm. Okay, he popped in my mind first. Maybe I've seen that trivia somewhere.
Ted Theodore Roosevelt.
And I was going to go down that path, but then I just read about that JFK thing a couple days ago. And I was like, this is heroic as fuck.
Yeah, so, I mean, it sounded awesome.
Yeah.
While you were telling me, I was like, why didn't he get a fucking medal?
Right. I wish I had more of those facts, but look it up. There's Kennedy Island is named after him for this event. So if you look up history of Kennedy Island, I'm sure it'll bring that up. Box office question. The worldwide top grossing movie of the 1970s is obviously
Jaws.
No, top grossing movie
of the 1970s. See, I hate this. You're probably going to get this. Obviously, it's the 1970s. Obviously, it's... And I'm like...
Well, it's funny because, like, I said obviously, and...
The Godfather?
No. What came out in the 70s that they're still making today?
Star Wars?
There you go. So, that's not the question, though.
Okay.
The question is, what is the second highest grossing movie?
Jaws?
Yes, it's Jaws!
I'll take it. I think Jaws is still the number one summer blockbuster, or was the creator of the summer blockbuster. I know that. That's why I went with Jaws.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even think. I mean, I thought Star Wars didn't do very well when it first came out, but I guess I'm wrong.
It's worldwide box office gross, so I think that counts all of the money that it's made in theaters maybe, you know, I don't know if it's the premiere gross, it's the worldwide box office. So if Star Wars is playing in a theater, it counts that money.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that includes re-releases, but, you know, even if it was kind of like a lackluster hit. Oh, okay, I was thinking
just the 1970s.
It's of all time, or no, of the decade.
Yeah, I guess I was thinking in that decade.
Yeah. I'm not exactly sure how that's tabulated, okay. But well, even if it dilly-dallied for a few months, it didn't take long. It was a hit pretty quickly. It's just that making it, people didn't expect it to be popular, and then it wasn't for like the first, like, I think it was only a month basically that it was out, and people weren't paying attention to it. And then
let me see if you know this one.
Okay,
I think you will. What TV show airing on HBO from 1992 to 1998? Co-starred Jeffrey Tambor and Rip Torn, and is widely regarded as an influential and landmark series. He's nodding.
Yes. How influential, Mark? How influential is this? If you are a fan of Howard Stern, and I think I've even said this on this program once before, "Hey Now."
Hey Now.
"Hey Now" is a quote from Jeffrey Tambor on this show. This is a very funny show. Been trying to get Kyle to watch it with me, but she says it seems annoying. She refuses to watch it.
Probably is.
Rest in peace, Rip Torn. Also, rest in peace to the Twitter account Rip Torn Outlives. I don't know if you ever saw that, but no. They would post anytime a celebrity died or a business failed, they would just say Rip Torn has outlived iTunes.
Well,
whatever. You know,
that's that.
So, of course, when he died, they had to retire the account.
Of course.
It made no sense. The answer is starring the sound-alike name, actor Gary Shandling, The Larry Sanders Show.
That's correct. Also Rip to Gary Shandling.
Yes. Yeah. Good episode of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee with him.
Yeah. Yeah. He's great.
Mm-hmm.
I remember watching The Gary Shandling Show when I was a kid.
Wait, he had a show called The Gary Shandling Show, too?
That was broken fourth wall, predated The Larry Sanders Show. It was on Showtime. Now that's your homework. Now you got to watch The Gary Shandling Show.
Yeah. I was telling Kyle, I don't think The Office would have like been a thing without The Larry Sanders Show.
The Office, Arrested Development, many shows directly influenced by that show.
Also, Janine Garofalo
was on
that show. Yep. Who else?
Don't do this to me. Not now. Not like this. Not like this.
I can't remember. I know there's other people on that show, though.
There are.
We would know.
For sure.
And there's some cameos, too, every episode, because it's about a late-night talk show that he hosts. He plays a late-night talk show host. Imagine if, like, Conan O'Brien had a show about Conan O'Brien. That's right. Kind of what the show is.
Very good.
Yeah. All right. Anyways, go watch it. It's great. It deserves your attention. Now that Game of Thrones is off, you have nothing to do on Sunday nights. Watch the Larry Sanders. Watch a show from 1992.
It's on HBO.
Yeah.
It's got on HBO Go.
All right. Let's see here. I guess I got two more for you this round. Do you like a sports question?
Don't do this.
Or a language question?
Don't do this. Don't do this.
You can choose.
No, I'm not gonna.
You're free to choose, Mark.
I don't want to choose. I refuse to choose.
You refuse to choose.
I refuse to choose. I get a big old shirt that says it.
Because you know I have 16 questions here.
That's fine. Ask all 16.
I could ask you about any of these. I could ask you about this just language question. You're the trivia master.
I'm not. You're your own trivia master. BYO.
This really upsets you that I'm asking you to make because this choice.
It always ends the same.
What?
I pick one, you go, and then I go, fuck, I should have picked the other one. You went, and then I get it wrong, and I think to myself, I should have picked the other one, and I don't want to do that. I don't want to be in charge of my destiny like this.
I think these are equally difficult, you know, and it's just more of a flavor thing. It's just more of a flavor thing. Are you in the mood for a sports question or are you in the mood for a language question?
You don't know me. Just pick for me.
No, I'm going to have to ask you to pick.
I'm not going to do it. Just think of whatever the listeners would want to hear more. What's more interesting?
All right, Mark, have it your way. We're going with the language question.
I knew you would.
Yep. You want the sports ones?
Then? Nope.
You sure?
Yep.
Because I think you'd get it right.
Here we go. Language.
What is the most common language spoken in the world?
Can you tell me what you mean by common?
Number of speakers.
Number of speakers. Well, fuck. Number of speakers. Well, I know English is just spoken so many fucking places. Everyone who goes to Europe says there are so many people that speak English there. But I know Muhammad is the most common name for a boy. And that's just based off of the number of people who were into the Muslim faith. And this is where I get really ignorant.
We're at the depth of your sussing right here.
I don't know what language, or if there is one language that all people who practice that faith speak. I mean, they don't speak Muslim. We don't speak Christian.
You can suss that. You know that.
But do I want to? Is that the answer? Or is it just English? Everyone in America, almost everyone in Canada. Canada's the second biggest country in the world. Though a lot of it's probably empty. Loads of people in Europe. Australia. The British Isles. Fuck.
What if I told you that this language is only the official language of three countries?
Well, English isn't the official language of America. So that might be tricking me. You might be tricking me with that. I don't know how many countries call it the official language. So it's either the language of people that are Muslim, which I don't know what it is, or it's English. I mean, it can't be Spanish, I don't think, because there's Portuguese and stuff. It gets kind of hairy there. I don't think it's Spanish. I'm just going to say English.
No, English is actually the official language of several countries. Antigua, Australia, the Bahamas, Bangladesh, Belize, Fiji, India, really? Ireland.
How fucking nuts that it's the fucking official language of India.
Maybe it's an official language of India, because Hindi is also an official language of India. However, there are 370 million native Hindi speakers, as opposed to 340 million native English speakers. There are more English speakers overall in the world that are not native speakers, 510 million. However, the language that is the most popular common language in the world, that is the official language of the People's Republic of China, the Republic of China, and Singapore, there's a distinction made here from VistaWide.com, where I'm reading these stats from. Mandarin Chinese is the answer, with 873 million native speakers and 1.051 billion speakers. So almost doubly the amount of people that speak English in the world speak Mandarin Chinese.
Man.
Yeah. Mandarin. Surprising, isn't it?
My next guess is going to be Esperanto.
Oh, I think that's pretty small, right?
Yes, very.
Yeah. Very small. We haven't mentioned Esperanto
in a minute.
Decades on this podcast. As it seems, if every 10 episodes is a decade.
Here is a sports question for you. Who holds the NFL record for most career touchdowns?
Most career touchdowns?
Yes.
Did this person play for the Detroit Lions?
No.
No?
Who were you guessing?
I'm trying to think of his name still.
Barry Sanders?
Huh?
Barry Sanders?
Yes, that is who I was thinking of, I think.
No.
In my head, I was like, Barry Bonds, but that's baseball.
You're thinking of Barry Sanders.
Yeah.
Very famous Lions running back.
Running back.
It's not it.
And it ain't Deion Sanders.
Someone did write Deion Sanders.
He's good, but he's not that good. Not the best of all time.
He's also mostly a defensive player. So yeah. The most touchdowns coming from a cornerback, even if he's a shutdown corner, not going to happen.
Is it from somebody before Barry Sanders' time?
I'm not positive. Around his time, without looking it up.
I'm trying to think who I can remember just running that ball from like that time period. I'm thinking like early 90s. That's when Barry Sanders was active, right? Late 80s, early 90s, somewhere in there. Late
80s, early 90s, yeah.
Who was all the rage? We're here in Florida, so there's tons of Dolphins fans at the time because they were actually kind of successful during that period.
Isn't it funny that we were talking about Larry Sanders' show and now we're talking about Barry Sanders' show?
It's the Sanderses.
Well, I'm sorry. He was on the Detroit Lions from 1989 to 1998.
Oh, okay. But it's not Barry Sanders.
No.
Emmett Smith? He was for the Cowboys. He played for the Cowboys. It's not Emmett Smith. Walter Payton. I think played for the Bears earlier, like way earlier, like in the 70s probably. Yeah, I don't know. I'm running out of
football names.
Yep, football. I'm running out of football names here. I know it's going to be somebody I know that I just can't think of too. I'm going to tap out on this one. I wish I had a team to suss, but no dice.
You should have sussed the San Francisco 49ers.
Jerry Rice?
Jerry Rice.
Really?
Yep.
Hey, I'm just proud of myself for getting Jerry Rice off the 49ers. Well, like, that's how little I know of football. I feel good about that.
A lot of people put down the names of quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Which they don't get the touchdown.
Right.
The person they throw to or the running back gets the touchdown.
I was juking quarterbacks in my brain. Dan Marino, no. Quarterback. Brett Favre, no. Quarterback. Peyton Manning, no. Quarterback.
Yep.
When's the last time you saw Home Alone?
You know, it was actually like a year or two ago.
Oh, you've seen it recently?
Semi.
I think you'll get this then. What is the name of the pizza chain featured in the movie Home Alone?
Nope.
No?
No. I may have even had this as one of my own trivia questions. Once upon a time.
I feel like you have had this as a question.
I don't know. Pizza Acropolis.
Pizza Acropolis?
Yeah.
No, that's creative.
Thanks.
But what if I told you that it has a resemblance to a national pizza chain?
Pizza Adobo.
Is that a Pizza Hut reference?
Yeah.
No. The pizza joint from Home Alone is Little Nero's. Little Nero's.
Little Nero's. Instead of
Little Caesar's, Little Nero's. Yeah.
That's when he does with the movie.
Mm-hmm. He does it with the movie.
You know what? Actually, my question wasn't about the pizza place. It was, was the name of the movie?
Oh, right. And that's not a real movie, right?
Nope.
I don't remember the name of that. Do you?
Something to do with angels.
Mm.
Like on an angel's wings or something like that. I can't remember off the top of my head.
It's called The Angels with Filthy Souls. That right?
Yep.
That's the name of the movie?
Angels with Filthy Souls, yep.
Angels with Filthy Souls, not a real film. The only shown segment was made specifically for Home Alone.
How fucking great is it, though?
Followed by a sequel, Angels with Even Filthier Souls. Oh, he even puts the tape in.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good trivia, because you can actually see it in the movie, the name of it. Also, if you want to see Angels and Filthy Souls in another movie, it also appears in Pokemon Detective Pikachu.
Does it?
Apparently, yeah.
Huh. I'll be a motherfucker. All right, here is your last question of the round. What U.S. city is known as the insurance capital of the world?
The insurance capital of the world.
Someone put London. U.S. capital of the world. London.
London, Texas. That's where all the big insurers go.
Lord.
All them actuators. That's what they're called, right? An actuator? No? Insurance actuator? What are the
appraiser?
People? No, no, no. Well, that's what they do. They appraise risk. An actuary.
I don't know.
Did I say actuator?
Yeah.
I'm the actuator.
Get down.
I manage your risk. I check your risk and see if you're qualified for a loan.
Pretty good.
So I don't know. I'm thinking where there's like financial capitals. New York, clearly. Atlanta, Chicago. Those are the three that are sticking out, but I don't know. There could be a curveball in here, like St. Louis or something like that. Just someone Midwest place that's not Chicago that I don't know about that's big in insurance. I don't know. I'm trying to think of when I've been to those cities, if I've seen like a prevalence of insurance buildings, but they seem about the same. I guess I'm just going to go with New York. Keep all the finances together.
The correct answer is Hartford, Connecticut.
Okay.
Hartford, Connecticut.
WWE land.
Okay.
That's where Vince McMahon and the WWE are and Linda McMahon. I don't know if they're involved in insurance, but I'm sure they're involved in some capacity in insurance. Yeah. They probably bought it, sold it.
Sold it.
They done sold it. All right. What was the nickname of actor Marion Mitchell Morrison, who appeared in classic westerns such as Rio Bravo and True Grit?
What was the real name?
What was the nickname of actor Marion Mitchell Morrison, who appeared in classic westerns such as Rio Bravo and True Grit?
The nickname?
Yes.
Do you know for a fact I've heard of this person?
Marion Mitchell Morrison?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Marion Mitchell Morrison. Classic western actor, Mark.
Well, I don't watch any westerns.
Well, you asked me a question about an outlaw.
Is it like a word?
Yeah, it's a nickname. The part that goes in the quotes.
What was his name again?
Marion Mitchell Morrison.
Marion Mitchell Morrison.
The classic Triple M.
His name is Eminem. That's his nickname.
Somebody did write down Eminem, which I did not get until you just pointed that out. It's a good best worst answer right there.
I'm going to say fucking Poncho. I don't know.
No, it's not Poncho. Nor is it Sancho. Nor Ennio. The nickname in question is Marion the Duke Morrison. Marion Mitchell Morrison, you might know better as John Wayne.
See?
The birth name of John Wayne. His nickname, the Duke. This is another double jump, Mark. You have to accept this. This is another double jump question.
I do.
It's not revealed. It doesn't seem obvious.
You don't have to press me.
No, I'm sure many of our listeners are angry with me right now, too. Because my players were pissed.
Yeah.
I said, if you wrote down John Wayne, getting a pity point on this, because that's for the nickname, not the pseudonym. And they were like,
I need to take a break.
Well, good. We're taking a break. We'll be back with our final questions.
Yeah.
All right, I've got a question for you. You might want to take some notes. This might take you. So just like, one good turn deserves another. You gave me that.
Do you want to give me a pen and paper? Or are you okay with me using my phone?
You can use your phone. I trust you.
Okay.
So I've just got five things here you might want to write down. This is a chemical symbols question.
Okay.
This is based on a bonus round that I had this week called the chemical symbol word generator. So I'm going to give you some chemicals, like or some elements from the periodic table. You take the chemical symbols from those elements and use them to make a phrase.
Now, you're not doing them in order. So it's like a scramble and do you know the name?
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
What two-word phrase can be constructed from combining the chemical symbols for potassium, nitrogen, oxygen, tungsten, and selenium?
Can you spell that?
S-E-L-E-N-I-U-M.
Two words.
Two-word phrase.
Two, three, four, five.
Yep.
Five things.
Potassium, nitrogen, oxygen, tungsten, and selenium. So first you will want to figure out the chemical symbols for those elements and then descramble them into a two-word phrase. You can reuse the chemical symbols more than once, but you can't split them up. You have to use the whole symbol. You can't rearrange the letters in one symbol.
So potassium's K. Nitrogen, I think, is Ni, but I'm not sure. Oxygen's O. So you know that potassium and oxygen are easy. Tungsten and selenium are my worries. So you said, like, if nitrogen is Ni, if it is, it has to be Ni together in that order.
Yep. Okay. Can't split them up.
Two words. Man. Tungsten. T-G-T-U. Does it even begin with a T? See, let me ask you this. I don't know if this is giving too much away. If you have two letters that are next to each other, can the second letter start the second phrase?
No.
Okay.
You can't split them up. You got to keep the symbol together in the word. I was going to ask while you're sussing, like, do you like the format of this question?
I do. I do very much. I would definitely give this an A+. This is really fucking good.
Appreciate it. It was nice because a lot of teams actually got this right.
Really? Mm-hmm. Great. Good. Can't wait to fuck it up. Potassium and oxygen. Okay. So I know at least those are going to be in there. Nitrogen. Is it Ni? Nitrous oxide. Like, I'm trying to think. Na is sodium. I'm going to say no thanks. I'm going to guess that maybe nitrogen is NO. If nitrogen is just N and oxygen is just O and tungsten, maybe that's wrong. That's wrong. If the letters I am coming up with, I can't make words with, is like Slotnick.
Whoa, you got it. Slotnick. Two-word phrase. I'll help you along here a little bit. Read me what you have for the chemical symbols for each, and I'll tell you yes or no if you got them right.
K, potassium.
Yes.
Ni, nitrogen.
No.
Oxygen, O.
Yes.
Tungsten, TS.
No.
Selenium, SE.
Yes. So your nitrogen and your tungsten need a little work before you can...
Is nitrogen just N?
Yes. Which leaves us with tungsten. Now, here's the trick with this question. What you need to know to get this question right is that in Germany, tungsten is called wolfram, which is where the chemical symbol gets its likeness from. So the chemical symbol for tungsten is actually W.
You said selenium is SE.
Yes.
No C?
Well, you can repeat the symbols.
You can?
Yes. You just can't split
them up. Oh, see, that was what was confusing me.
Yep.
No nonsense.
Yep.
That's so cute.
Thanks, man.
I totally spaced on the you can reuse them.
I hope I said it.
You might have, and I just slipped right past it. Yeah, because then I saw no, and I was like, what?
Yep.
That's neat.
Thank you. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cute little puzzle, trivia puzzle. I think I set that off at the beginning of the third round, you know, so it's kind of like a nice little thing when you're working through, like, oh, okay.
All right.
Somebody thought that tungsten was T, though, so they wrote down not nonsense, like K-N-O-T, not nonsense. It's like, how could you write that down and not think, like, I must have messed up here? Like, I'm going to write the answer is not nonsense instead of no nonsense? Come on.
Well, tungsten's a tough one.
It is. It is. So.
All right, here's your last question.
Mm-hmm.
How many presidents died of natural causes while in office? That is to say they died, but mm-hmm. they were not assassinated.
Right.
Because some people are like, what if you got pneumonia? Is that natural? It's like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Okay, so based on our episode a few episodes ago, I think I remember you saying that there were four presidents overall that were assassinated.
That's correct.
So,
can you remember them?
No. I mean, Kennedy, Lincoln.
Still can't remember.
I know. Hayes?
No.
Not Rutherford B. Hayes?
No.
Something's going on with Hayes.
One of them hates lasagna. Was he the
facial hair guy?
One of them hates lasagna.
Garfield. Mm-hmm. And Coolidge. No.
Nope. One of them's a mountain.
A mountain?
Not Taft.
Mount Taft?
Well, because he's big.
Oh, okay. Wait, is his name Taft? Is Taft the answer?
No, no, it was a joke. I said not Taft, not that kind of mountain, not a mountain of a man. Mount McKinley.
McKinley. Damn it. What's going on with Hayes? Hayes was, Hayes served in the Civil War?
Had a big mustache, I don't know.
I think he served in the Civil War.
I think he had a big mustache.
Yeah. But if four were assassinated, I'm going to assume the rest died of natural causes, unless I'm missing a loophole here.
While in office.
Oh, while in office.
Yes.
Oh.
How many of them died of natural causes while in office?
William Henry Harrison is one. He died of pneumonia a week after his inauguration.
Very good. But is that it?
Yes.
Going with one?
I'm going with one.
The correct answer is also four.
Oh, really?
William Henry Harrison in 1841. Mm-hmm. Zachary Taylor in 1850. Warren Harding in 1923. And the last president to die in Oval Office or in office, Franklin Delano Roosevelt in 1945 of a heart attack.
Oh, okay. I should have known that one.
So four.
Yeah. Good. I like that one.
Thanks.
I like those four.
Yeah.
That is not a comment on their policies, though. I have no idea what they did while they were president, so please don't sign me up for that. On our way out, though, Mark, do you want a Beatles question just to close us out for
Give it
fun?
To me.
Okay. How well do you know the album, the 1963 album, with the Beatles? Do you know the track listing okay?
Nope.
No? Well, there's still another hint in the question.
Okay. So
hopefully that you'll Good. Work it out. The 1963 album with the Beatles closes with a cover of what song? Originally by Berry Gordy. Who lived during a time period where people's names were Berry Gordy.
I'm going to say Twist and Shout. I know that was a popular cover they did at the time.
Mm. Twist and Shout? No. Who did do Twist and Shout originally? I was going to say Chubby Checker, but that's The Twist.
That is The Twist.
That's not Twist and Shout.
Yeah. Not sure who did Twist and Shout.
The correct answer is Money.
That's what I want. Mm-hmm. Let me give you a last question because okay. I know you like interesting facts. So you tend to sometimes give a little facts about your question and
right.
answer. In the late 19th and early 20th century, pistol dueling. Draw.
Mm-hmm.
Became a popular sport in France. The duelists were armed with conventional pistols, but the cartridges had bullets made from what material?
What were bullets made of in dueling?
Sport in dueling. France?
Hmm. Wow. Trying to think of what they would put in that they would think like this isn't going to hurt that much, but it would still fucking hurt. I'm sure.
Yeah, they go fast.
If it's a conventional gun, conventional pistol. Let's see here. Probably some kind of natural material. Maybe something that's a little softer than typical. If they're, you know, trying to reduce the number of casualties occurring during this event
by just a hair.
I'm going to go with cork. I think cork might be something that they would use for this purpose. So it seems like it could withstand the ballistic force, but also maybe not do some piercing damage because it's so soft.
The correct answer is wax.
Oh, okay.
Wax bullets.
Hmm. Yeah, that would hurt.
Yeah, apparently they hurt like a motherfucker.
Imagine a crayon being shot at you. It's probably not crayon shaped, but
yeah.
Yeah. Very good. Very good.
I thought you'd like that one.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that concludes this episode of the No-No.
That's it.
You can check us out live on Mondays at 7 p.m. at Palace Pub and Wine Bar in Cape Coral. Tuesday at Gather in Cape Coral for Ladies Night Trivia. That also starts at 7 p.m. Wednesdays, we're at Bury Me Brewing Company in Fort Myers at 7. You can catch Mark Davis hosting trivia at Nice Guys Pizza on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Then each and every Thursday evening, we're at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in downtown Cape Coral. That show starting at 7:30. Thanks for listening, everyone. Join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the No-No in several ways. The easiest by sharing this episode on your social media accounts with your friends.
Tell your friends.
You could also leave us a written review on your favorite podcast platform.
Write out a review to somebody.
We got some good reviews actually recently. Let's read a couple.
Yeah, you were gonna send the one to me.
Yeah, you could use this as inspiration in case you want to write a review and you don't know what to say. You know, maybe we have. I would say this is like the perfect review, basically.
Yeah, tell me about it. I want to hear it.
Well, I'm just Googling it right now. Once I pull it up, I'm going to read it right to you.
Please do.
You better get ready because this review's coming right up.
Oh, I'm so scared.
Just as soon as I pull it up here.
Here it comes.
Phoebe KL.
Phoebe KL.
She writes, hilarious and bingeable. This trivia podcast is funny and informative. With two hosts who clearly enjoy each other company, we do, that's true, and have an interesting range of guests. Shout out to all our guests, our wonderful guests. The episodes are long, which is great for commuting and have a nice structure. The trivia is great, and so are the tangents. Highly recommend binging the back catalog. Thank you, Phoebe. Five stars from Phoebe on that one. That's what we want.
Thank you, and we didn't even beg Phoebe a bunch.
Yep.
And unless you listen to a lot of episodes where we were begging everyone.
Here's one from B-Man Gamer24.
Okay.
How to learn those random facts. Old B-Man. How to learn those random facts you'll need.
Oof.
I mean, it is nonsense. We call it no nonsense, so I don't know when you'll need them, but you might need them. Hey. You might need them for trivia night.
Absolutely.
You know? It's not a bad way to study.
Or to impress a special somebody.
Mm-hmm.
See male, what they say female, here. Gender fluid.
I drive a lot, and because of that, I need podcasts to get through that grind. This has been my most recent obsession. It's fantastic. I've always been interested in trivia, but I've struggled to be good at it, as I don't really have a specialty or anything, but listening to Lee and Mark always feels like two friends helping me train for trivia nights.
Hell yeah.
Hopefully, I'll be the next Seth. One man threat.
Wow.
One man threat.
I love it.
Yeah. Please, if you're listening and you listen regularly, please leave us a review and let us know what you think. I think we enjoy it. Not only do we enjoy reading it, but other people look at those to see if it's even worth their time. So
put such a smile on my face. I'm so happy when people say that they're that into it.
Indeed. And besides leaving a review, you can support the podcast on Patreon, getting access to some of those bonus episodes that we were talking about. Just go to thenono.com and click on the support link at the top for that. It'll take you to our Patreon page.
Patreon.
Speaking of which, thank you to our Patreon supporters for helping us out with the show. Thanks to our quiz daddies, Tommy from the Electric Mud and Tim from San Diego.
Tommy and Timmy.
Yep, a member of Pat's Garden Service.
And Tommy from the Electric Mud. Did you say that?
I did. Tommy from the Electric Mud and Timmy from San Diego.
There you go.
I hope he likes Timmy. Maybe just Tim. I don't know.
He probably hates it. He's a grown-ass man.
Sometimes we haven't heard from Tim in so long. I wonder if he even remembers he's donating to the podcast.
One day he's going
to
be like, what the hell is this?
$600? Trivia podcast. Thanks to our team captains, Kristen and Fletcher. Thanks also to our proverbial lightkeepers, Justin, Cooper, Elise, Aaron, Sarah, Brina, Carly, Christopher, Josh, Max, Lucas, Sean, and Gil.
It's Gil.
Big thanks also to our Rumble Snailskins, Efren, Steven, Michael C., and Michael J. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I forgot. We also have another Patreon.
Whoa.
Who did I forget? We got a new Patreon. So new that I didn't even put him in the show notes yet.
Holy cow.
Who are we going to thank right now? Who gets the thanks?
Who gets thanked?
Ah, we have a new Rumple Snailskin, Jeff. Thanks, Jeff. Jeff. Becoming the latest in a series and lineage of Rumpelstiltskins.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
You can write us with a rate my question or miscorrection at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com, and please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia, and on Twitter at No Non Trivia. We have a Facebook group. You can join as well to chat with us and other listeners. Just search for No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on Facebook, and we'll sign you up for that closed group. Finally, don't forget to leave us a rating on your favorite podcast service. 5 stars only, please.
Please, guys, 5 stars, huh?
You got a template now.
I mean, Jesus Christ. Just look at what Phoebe did.
Phoebe and B-Man Gamer and did all B-Man the work for Gamer you. B-Man
Gamer 65?
24.
24?
Probably 24 years old, I'm guessing.
Well, you know what? Now I've just upgraded him. He's 48.
48?
I doubled his RAM.
Yeah, all right. Until next time, No Nonsense listeners, leave us a review and have a great week.